Let's take our Bibles this morning and start in the book of Malachi. I have a real creative name for the message this morning, and that is Generosity Part 2. I hope that your heart is full, that your spirit is lifted up, just to be able to say those words, "It is well with my soul." Just to stop and think that my sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought, my sin, not in part, but the whole, is nailed to the cross and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord. A man had just finished playing a round of golf. He showered at the clubhouse and he heard a cell phone ring, and so he picked it up, and wife was on the other end, and she said, "Honey, I was at the fur coat dealer, and it was $1,800, now it's $1,700. Please, honey, could I buy it?" He said, "Well, if you really want it, go ahead." She said, "Well, I've got one more thing." She said, "That Mercedes that I've been looking at, the dealer came down from $88,000 to $77,000. Honey, please." And he said, "Well, if you really, really want it, then go ahead." She said, "Just one more thing, honey." He said, "Okay." She said, "That vacation home on the ocean, you know how the realtor was saying 1.8? They just dropped the price to $1.5 million. Please, honey. You know, if you really want it, go ahead and get it." And he hung up, and everybody in the clubhouse is just staring at him. And he said, "Does anybody know whose cell phone this is?" This morning, let's look at God's word and what the Lord has to say about generosity. Let's start in Malachi chapter 3 and verse 8. It says, "Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, where have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse. You have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house. And prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing that there shall not be room enough to receive it. I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes. He shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. And all nations shall call you blessed, for you shall be a delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts." What's interesting in this passage, there are very few times, in fact, you'll be hard-pressed to find many where God says, "Test me." Because most of the time, God is saying, "Just believe me," right? God says, "Believe me. Have faith." But here, God actually says, "Test me." That's what the word prove. Test me. Put me to the test and see what I will do. And what does he say this testing is to in regards to? It's in our giving to him. So the first thing that I want to talk about with generosity this morning is test God with your finances. Test God with your finances. I would encourage everybody here, go out and buy the book or download the book on your Kindle or Nook or whatever, The Treasure Principle by Randy Alcorn. Okay? It's a great book. And in this book, you will be challenged to test God with your finances. And as you test God with your finances, you will see that here's what God promises. He says, "Prove me, put me to the test." Here's what God says he'll do. He will open up the windows of heaven, and you will not have room enough to receive what he pours out. Now, does that mean it's God a slot machine? You put in a quarter, you get back a dollar. No, God is not a slot machine. Is God an ATM? Where you put in your request for a certain amount of money and he spits out the dollars that you ask for. No. God is not a slot machine. God is not an ATM. God works differently than that. His blessings are not always financial. Sometimes they are. Praise God when they are, right? Sometimes his blessings are something so much greater than finances. But here's what God says. You know, I'm so glad I'm not the one. You know, there are some people, they want to stand up and they want to speak for God and they want to put words into his mouth. We're not putting words in his mouth this morning. We're saying God looks at us and he says, prove me. Well, prove him with what? With your tithe. If you've never tithed, you have no idea what a joy it is to trust God that he can take 90% of your money that he allows you to keep. So we have to look at it differently. Don't look at it as, boy, God takes 90% or 10% of my money. If that's the way you look at it, you'll be miserable. God allows you to keep 90%. What if tithe was 50%? It'd be a lot harder sell, right? But it's only 10%. But we don't even need to look at it that way, because it's not just tithes that God says prove him with. It's offerings. Now, I was very fortunate. When Rachel and I got, when we started dating, we both tithed. We never had to have this discussion where we disagreed on it and had to argue our way through it. We just, that's how we grew up. I remember the very first paycheck I got. First question I asked is, who is FICA and where can I find him? All right. Second thing was, I need to get this in the bank so I can get back my money to tithe. Because from the very first, you know, I was 12 years old with my first job. I got paid $1.65 an hour working for a landscape company. And I remember that first paycheck. I was so excited to be able to give God the first 10%. I got to keep 90. That was so cool. And then from time to time, when a missionary would come in, or God would just lay something on my heart, then my offering would come out on top of that 10%. See, sometimes we look at things and we say, well, you know, I'm going to give God my 10%. And then we think that we're with our offering, that we're when we give to something else that's offering. No. If you don't give the first 10% to God and then offering on top of that, you're just really still trying to get back to that 10%. You might be sitting here and you're going, where'd this 10% thing come from? Well, we talked about it for a minute last week, but let me just tell you, the 10% comes from Abraham met the pre-incarnate form of Jesus Christ in Melchizedek, the king in Hebrews, it says, had no beginning, no end, no father, no mother. So Jesus, part of the Trinity, pre-incarnate before his birth on this earth, came to earth, met with Abraham. He was called Melchizedek at that, the king of peace, the king of righteousness. And when Abraham met him, he was overwhelmed with God. No command was given. Just being overwhelmed with God, he said, first 10%, I'm giving it to you. The best of all he had. That's where tithing comes from. And so maybe you have never had that encounter with God. Maybe this morning you say, well, I've been saved, but I just don't feel any need to do that. Then you haven't encountered God in a way where you understand this principle. When you put God to the test and he says, prove me, and you say, all right, God, I'm gonna trust you with 10% of my money, and I'm going to trust you to help me with my 90%. If you've never been in that place with God, you have no idea what it's like to have the windows of heaven opened up, and then you don't have room enough to receive it. I was thinking about this the other day. Rachel and I, we have 3 houses and 3 cars. How did we get there? You know, I mean, we had a plan and everything, and we are trying to grow some finances and things, but we don't try to grow finances because we're looking to get rich. We are so excited to be able to be a blessing. We're so excited. We had 3 cars. You know, for the last year, probably 6 months, somebody else was driving one of our cars because their car broke down or whatever. It was so neat that we were able to do that. And by the way, it wasn't our car, it's God's car. But that's next week's message, and I don't want to go there yet. So, turn over to Luke chapter 6 and verse 38. Luke chapter 6 and verse 38. It says, give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, and shaken together, and running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that you meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. So here's the second principle about generosity here. The generosity with which you give will be returned in abundance. Okay, now again, I didn't say the money that you give will be returned. God is not the slot machine, okay? But the generosity that you give, that generosity is promised to be returned to you in abundance, because men shall give into your bosom. And it's totally proportionate. The way that you give in generosity will be what you receive in generosity. I had somebody one time that came to me and they said, you know, I hear stories about all these people that God blesses financially and he helps them. And I've tithed all my life and God has never done anything for me financially. Yeah, it could be. And I said, well, I'm sorry that you feel that way. I said, have you ever gone beyond your tithe and done anything and just in generosity? You saw somebody that was needy and you just said, you know, I'm just going to help them. Well, no. Well, maybe you haven't received that because you've never given that. You see, there's this principle here. Give, be generous, and it shall be given to you. You don't have money to give, give time. Give energy. Give love. Give help. I can't tell you how many times in my life that someone has come over and helped us. Our very first home that we owned, it was 100 years old home, and it had knob and tube wiring, and it was a mess. And this guy, he was a youth sponsor with us. He was a banker. He came to me. He said, I'm going to tell you a secret. He says, I do electrical work. Don't tell anybody. I'll never have a free weekend. And so he came over to my house, and he took a day off of work. And we ripped apart all the wiring, and we pulled the wire and redid all the upstairs of that house. I was blown away by his generosity. I guarantee you that somehow along the line, God brought that back to him. That generosity. You see, it's not about the dollar amounts here. It's about you giving up of yourself. Turn with me over to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians 4 and verse 16. It says, for even in Thessalonica, you sent once and again under my necessity. So Paul, he says to the Philippians, when I was in Thessalonica, twice, that's what once and again means, twice you sent to help me with my necessity. That's the needs that he had. He had some financial needs. I mean, if you look at Paul's life, he did a lot of traveling. Now, they didn't have to pay for gas back then, but, you know, you wear sandals out, your camel needs to eat something, or your donkey, or whatever, and he had needs. Now, he did, if he was in an area long enough, he would sew tents, make tents, and sell the tents, and he would make a living doing that. But he was busy, and he didn't have a lot of time to make tents, and so churches would contribute to help him with that need. Verse 17, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. Paul wanted them to help him with his necessities, the needs that he had, not because he was looking for them to give him a gift, but he knew that their helping him allowed for the gospel to be presented and fruit would come from that. Verse 18, but I have all. Can you say that in your life? I have everything that I need. And maybe you're thinking, well, I would if I had that Harley. Then I would have everything that I need. Or if I had that boat, then I would have everything that I need. Or that vacation home, then I would have everything that I need. You know what Paul realistically has here when he writes this? He has chains on his feet and chains on his hands. He has scars on his back from when he's been beaten. And I imagine he has scars on his face. When he writes this, he has Jesus Christ. He has the generosity of others to him in his life. And he says, what else do I need? which this is just a really good side point here, but you know, if you're here visiting or you're out of town and you don't have a church home, you're missing out on the blessing of generosity of others towards you. Because that's what the church should provide for each other. And Paul, he says, I don't need anything. I have everything. And abound. I have more than I need. I am full. If we would only take that attitude. If I'm full and I have more food, do I need to eat more? I shouldn't. But you know, there are others that could benefit. I'm full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. You see, that's what generosity is. Generosity is a sacrifice not to help an individual. It's for God himself. That's why we do it. Sure, we see people that have need and we want to help them. But why do we help them? Not for them, for God. Verse 19, but my God shall supply all your need. Here's the principle. They helped Paul, and so here's what Paul says. My God now will supply all your need according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. See, it's not about dollar amounts, and it's not about giving to get, but when you are generous, this is just the principle. God takes care of you, and he takes care of you according to his generosity. Now, how generous is God? While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. While we were ungodly, Christ bore our sin so that we could be made the righteousness of God in him. God is generous. He owns every livestock in this world. Who put the copper in the mines? Who put the silver? Who put the gold in them there hills? God did. Then he paved the streets of heaven with it just to show us how much it's really worth. It's just to show us what his abundance is with gold. You think God can't return the generosity to us? So let me give you a third principle here. You cannot outgive God. You cannot do it. You cannot outgive him. You know, yesterday, I want to say thank you to everybody who came and helped on our work day. Thank you. I mean, the grass looks great inside. It freshened up and things. A lot of things got done. It was wonderful. You know how that happens? People were generous. You know, and Brian and Tamara, they found a bike out on the edge of our property, you know. I mean, and a dollar, you know. My daughter found a penny. She was probably more excited about the penny than they were the dollar. But God can never be outgiven by us. There's a man, his name was Hudson Taylor. You may have heard of him. He was a missionary. And Hudson Taylor, he had studied to be a doctor, a medical doctor. And God ended up calling him to China. But before he went, he worked underneath of another doctor so that he could really have all his ducks in a row as far as medicine was concerned. And he had made this commitment to the Lord. Lord, I know I'm going to go be a missionary, and I never want to ask anybody for anything because I know you will always provide. So as he worked for this doctor, the doctor was supposed to pay him, but the doctor would forget because he was just kind of an absent-minded guy. Not the kind of doctor I want, but he was kind of absent-minded, and so one day, Hudson Taylor, it was a Sunday, he went to church. After church, he went out into the neighborhood, and he just went door-to-door and was knocking on the doors of in London, England, witnessing to people, and he met this family. All he had in his pocket was a shilling, you know, like $1.50, not very much money. And he met this family. The husband was near death. The mom and the kids just were skinny beyond belief. They looked like they hadn't eaten in a long time. And he talked to them, and they said, all we need is we just need a shilling to go buy a loaf of bread. That'll help us get through. And he's got this shilling in his pocket. Problem is, he was a month behind in paying his rent because a doctor had not paid him. He was stuck with this dilemma. Now it's a Sunday night. Monday, his rent was due, and he was going to be 2 months behind, and he thought this is a terrible testimony to Jesus Christ, that I tell my landlord I'm a servant of Jesus, and I don't even pay my rent. And so he was really struggling with this, and he thought, well, at least I could take this shilling and give it to her and say, hey, I'll come up with the rest. You know, my doctor needs to pay me. Well, God just hit him, because here's what he did. He prayed for them and said, God, I pray that you would provide for them, and then he left. And when he walked out into the alleyway, it was like God spoke to him and said, Hudson, what are you doing? He turned around, he went back, and he said, God has provided for you. And he gave him the money, and one of the kids went out and bought the bread, and they were just ecstatic. Well, he's walking back home, and he's saying, now I got nothing to give to my landlord. And he's passing by the medical practice, and it's late at night on a Sunday night, and the light was on in there. So he walked up to the door, and he walked in, and there's the doctor. And the doctor looks over at him and says, hey, what are you doing here? And he said, well, I saw the light on, and I just decided to come up. Now, he had made a commitment to God that he was not going to ask, that God would have to provide. And the doctor looked at him and said, you know, I was just thinking in my mind that I haven't paid you. But I don't have any money, so you're going to have to wait till next Friday. And Hudson Taylor's heart just, oh, I thought God was divinely taking care of this. When all of a sudden another knock at the door. It's almost midnight now on a Sunday night. Who stops by the doctor's office? It was one of the wealthy men in town. He walked in and he said, I haven't paid my bill. I saw the light on and I thought I'd just come and pay my bill. And it was enough to take care of both months that Hudson Taylor owed. God provided. Can you outgive God? No, you can't. Because God will supply all your need according to his riches in glory, which is in Christ Jesus. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians 9. It's our last point this morning. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 6, it says, but this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man, according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth the cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. Here's the fourth principle in generosity. If you are rich in generosity, God will make sure you have enough to continue to be abundant in doing good. God will help you to be able to continue to do good. Now, here's the thing. Oh, I have to be generous to people. God doesn't need that money. God doesn't want that. God loves a cheerful giver. I don't want to help anybody. I got enough issues on my own. Okay? God doesn't need your help. You know who misses that blessing? You do. You know what's far too common among us? We're willing to miss out on this blessing because we're so stinking selfish. Why can't we just see beyond ourselves and see that there is a world out there? There are brothers and sisters out there. There are people out there that could use our generosity. And God, he helps us. If you're rich in generosity, God will make sure you have enough to continue to be abundant, not adequate, abundant in doing good work. When Rachel and I, the first year that we were married, we were finishing up college, and I got invited by a church in Illinois to go preach. Well, we lived in Wisconsin, and it was about a six-hour drive. We had to wake up obscenely early, like 4 in the morning. We'd left the house to drive to go. But we were looking at it, and we were saying, I don't know if we can go do this, because at the time, we were driving a little Chevy Nova, and the engine was just leaking like crazy. And we thought, how in the world can we go do this? Our car is, it's no good. Well, I worked at a Ford dealership, But fortunately, a lot of the guys didn't mind working on Chevys. So I took it in, and I asked how much it would cost to have it fixed. And the guy told me he could put a new part in, and he would give all labor for free. He said, for $250, I can fix this. For $200, I can fix this. And so I thought, all right, when can you do it? And he said, well, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll trade you time for time. You clean my car. If you saw this car, it was equal trade, let me tell you. He was a smoker, and there are cigarette butts everywhere. And he said, I'll trade you time for time. And I thought, hey, that's a great deal. So we were going to trade time for time, but he couldn't do it for a couple more weeks. Well, on Sunday, we were supposed to drive out and go to this church. And so Rachel and I, we really prayed about it, and we thought, you know, God wants us to do this. I was going to preach in the morning, do a youth activity in the afternoon. Rachel was doing special music in the morning and evening, and I was going to preach in the evening. So I thought, hey, God wants us to do this. We need to go do this. So we jumped in the car. We start driving. And we get to a toll booth. Now, we filled up the car right before we left, and, you know, 78 cents a gallon at that time. So gas was a little bit more affordable. And we stop, we fill up the car, but that left us less than $1.50 in our bank account. So we literally have nothing. And we get to the first toll booth, and we're scrounging around for change, and we could pay the first toll. So we're excited. God provided. We have loose change, and God provided the toll. We keep driving. We hit the next toll. We have nothing. So we learned this real neat little trick. You can collect IOUs at the toll booths. You just got to send it and pay for it later. So we're like, hey, no big deal. So yeah, we're getting the I. So we get to the church, and now we're in a deficit of money. We drive all the way there. The car is smoking. I mean, there's billows of smoke coming out of the hood, and we kind of coast into the driveway. We're like, yes, Lord, we made it! And we were there before anybody else, a long time before, and God was good. Now, we go through the day. It was a great day. We get done and say, all right, now, how are we going to get home? We have to refill gas. We'll just collect more IOUs from the toll booth. And I had been praying that the church would help us. And we knew that the church, you know, they're not going to ask you to come all that way without doing something. And I was praying that the Lord would give us $200 to cover the parts that were needed for the vehicle. Oh, me of little faith. Rachel was praying for $250. She's greedy. So she just has more faith. And so we were getting ready to go, and the pastor came over, and he's got this big old bag of quarters. And he hands it to me, and he says, we know that you guys were going to have to hit toll booths, and this is to help you with your tolls. And it more than paid for all our back tolls and all the ones going back home. He gave us a gas card, $25. $25 at 78 cents a gallon with a Chevy Nova gets 35 miles to the gallon. That went a long way. God was so abundant in his provision. So I'm filling up the car with gas. We're at the gas station, and we haven't opened up. They gave us an envelope. And so I say, Rachel, I said, I got to be honest. I've been praying that God would give us $200. And she says, well, I've been praying it'd be $250. So she opens it up. And guess what it was? $250. Now, did God have to give us any money? No. But here's the thing. We couldn't outgive God. We thought there was no way that that would work. I ended up doing swap time for time with the guy, and we didn't even get charged the full $200. It was a little bit less. God was so generous. But see, God's looking back at us, and he's saying, I want you to be generous. I want you to put yourself into me, into my work, into my people, into my kingdom. See, we're not building just 12th Street Baptist Church. We are building the kingdom of God. We are not just building for ourselves. We are building for the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the conquering hero. We build for him, and it's our life's work. And when we live for him, he helps us to abound, to be able to do even more good. Let's pray together. Lord, I thank you for this message, Lord, because there are times that those, Lord, who have been generous with their time, are generous with their finances. And Lord, they do all they can. Lord, I pray they would be encouraged. I pray right now, Lord, they would just be lifted up. And in their heart and in their spirit, they would say, I want to keep going. I want to figure out how I can do more. Then, Lord, I also pray for those who maybe in their life have not exercised the principle of generosity. Lord, maybe they've just never thought about the fact that if I trust God, He will provide for all my need according to His riches and glory. That the Lord is able to make us abound unto every good work. Lord, I pray that those who have never put You to the test, this morning, Lord, they would make that commitment and they would put You to the test. And Lord, if anyone here has never trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior, Lord, You do not want them to give any money or give any time, or do any good work. Right now, Lord, You want them to receive the gift of eternal life before they put anything in. Because, Lord, right now, the most important thing for them is that they understand that Jesus Christ is the only hope they have for eternity. There's no good they can do, but, Lord, they need to trust in what You have done for them. And so I pray if any here have never trusted in Jesus Christ, that this morning they would do so, and they would find out what a joy it is to know You. And then, Lord, that You would build in their life that spirit of generosity. I pray that we would respond, Lord, to the way that You would have us. I pray that we would be obedient unto You in the way that Your Holy Spirit works now. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The invitation will be open as the worship team sings, and go ahead and sing along. But I would encourage you, if God has spoken to your heart, respond. If you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, I invite you to come down, walk the aisle, and tell me that you want to trust Jesus, and we'll have someone show you from God's Word how you can do that, and today you can leave a child of God. And if God has spoken to your heart about generosity, I would encourage you to act as He would have you. Let's stand together.
my soul, Lord, to you surrendered all I am is yours. So what could I say? What could I do?
Well, this morning, Terry Waite has come forward. She